And welcome to the Sports Ticket, 9:15 our time on a Thursday, June the 1st, 2023, 73 degrees our temperature. A little bit slow time of the sports season. Why, we talked about yesterday that the NCAA baseball tournament should have play-in games like they do for the NCAA tournament in basketball. And that'd be great to see Oklahoma and K-State play each other straight up one game to move on in the tournament. Not the case. And as we established yesterday, the K-State baseball team did not make it to the NCAA tournament. So they'll have to turn around and hopefully do more next year to qualify for the tournament. But we do have some good news for K-State fans. Naquan Tomlin has announced that he's withdrawn his name from the NBA draft. A very talented young man who will be back for K-State next year. Average 11 points and about 6 rebounds a game. So good news, but news that was expected. And so K-State fans not disappointed that Tomlin is coming back to play for a team that made it to the Elite Eight a year ago. And speaking of in-state schools, the University of Kansas's Ernest Uday, no longer Ernest Uday of the University of Kansas, he has transferred, and there were some KU fans that, of all the transfers, this is the one that was the most disappointing, was Uday leaving. But once they had picked up Hunter Dickinson in the transfer portal, Uday saw the writing on the wall that he wasn't going to start. He would have, I think, been an important role player off the bench. Instead, he's transferring. K-State had some interest in Ernest Uday. Duke, originally he had sounded like he was going to go to Duke, but Ernest Uday is going to try to stick it to the Jayhawks in conference. Okay, I don't know if that's his plan, but he is a Horned Frog. He put it out there on his Twitter page with Kermit the Frog sitting on his left shoulder wearing shades. So Ernest Uday is committed to play for the Horned Frogs of TCU. So KU fans, you get to see him up close and personal at least twice next year, or at least that's, we don't know for sure, I guess, because of the addition of the four schools to the Big 12, so we shall see, but we'll see him at least once, if not two, or maybe even three times. Zach Edey, the National Player of the Year in college basketball, 7'4" center, withdrawing his name from the NBA draft. It used to be that if you're 7'4", you were going to be a lottery pick and maybe, probably, the top overall pick in the draft. You remember Yao Ming, who was 7'6"? Well, to just show that the game of basketball has changed, Zach Edey, who is a National Player of the Year in college basketball at 7'4", was rated as the 72nd best prospect in this draft because the pro game is just going to a lot of three-point shooting, spread, offense, four guys out, five guys out. And the big man, if he can't get up and down the floor or try to guard on switches and everything else, it's just, it doesn't work. And Zach Edey, obviously, is not as highly touted. He, unfortunately, Zach Edey, He grew up in the wrong generation. If he would have grew up in the 80s, he'd be already going to the NBA and making probably a whole bunch of money. Instead, he's going back to college at Purdue, 7'4", and he's not a top-flight product, and he's National College Player of the Year. Just goes to show you the NBA game is different now. It's just simply different. So Zach Edey coming back. Monty Williams and Detroit Pistons have agreed on a 6-year, $79 million deal to make Monty Williams a new head coach of the Detroit Pistons. Monty Williams did a great job with the Phoenix Suns, and I think obviously he was a scapegoat after you trade half your roster away to get Kevin Durant, and it doesn't work out in the playoffs, and you only had about 20 games together during the season, Booker and Durant and Chris Paul, but he was a scapegoat. Coaches usually are, and Monty Williams, didn't take long for him to find a new deal. Outstanding coach, outstanding person from everything I've read. He will be the head coach of Detroit Pistons. 6 years, $79 million is the deal. The NBA Finals, Game 1 is tonight. Nuggets favored by 8.5 this evening. The Heat are the 8 seed out of the East. The Nuggets the number 1 seed in the West. 7:30 tonight in Denver. Game 1 of the NBA Finals. The Nuggets beat the Heat twice during the regular season. Not that that really means much. The Nuggets 34-7 at home this year. The Heat are 17-24 on the road. But the Miami Heat have won their last 6 Game 1s. And if there's ever a time to steal game one, it's a situation like this. The Nuggets haven't played in 9 days. The Heat, coming off a tough series, yes, they were extended to the limit, 7 games, 1 game 7 in Boston, but they're into a rhythm. And Mike Malone, head coach of the Nuggets, has said, hey, listen, we can practice all we want, but that doesn't simulate games. and especially at this level in the playoffs and now game one NBA Finals. Nuggets have never been to the NBA Finals, so this is their first ever NBA Finals game. They get hosted in Denver. They are the favorite to win the championship. No number 8 seed has ever won the NBA Finals. There has been one other 8 seed that's made it to the NBA Finals, and that was the Knicks back in the 94-95 season. But the Heat are the second 8 seed to make it to the NBA Finals, and they'll try to pull off the shocker of winning this series. I have the Nuggets winning in 6. I think some people think the Nuggets are going to steamroll the Heat. I think that's not giving the Heat their due credit. The Heat, everybody kept talking about how the Celtics gave away that series. They didn't give away the series. The Heat took the series. They were up 3-0 for crying out loud. The Celtics didn't play very well many times. They didn't run much of an offense. They didn't know how to handle a zone defense. They kept chucking threes instead of attacking the goal. They settled. Jaylen Brown's got to learn how to dribble with his left hand or go to his left. That was horrible in Game 7. The Heat were just the better coach team. They were the better team. Were the Celtics the more talented team? Yeah. That doesn't mean you're the better team. Just because you're more talented doesn't mean anything. I mean, how many times have we seen these unbelievable teams in college basketball? Like the Kentucky Wildcats when they were at 38-0. They're the most talented team. They're the best team all year. Didn't even make it to the championship game. Lost to Wisconsin in the national semis in the Final Four. Happens all the time. The best team doesn't always win. The most talented team doesn't always win. But when you're in the NBA, it's a best 4 out of 7 series. And so you can't sit here and tell me, well, the best team didn't win when they played 7. Like, I understand the argument. If it's a one and done, like in college basketball, well, the best team didn't win. It's just a team that got hot. But, and when you're playing 7 games over the course of 2.5 weeks, and you win 4 of the 7, and you're up 3-0 in the series, you're the better team. That's not a fluke. You rattled through the Bucks, the number one seed in the first round. You beat the Knicks, took care of them rather easily, or so it seemed. And then you take care of the Celtics. I mean, the Heat are, they continue to be disrespected, and I'm not going to disrespect them anymore at all. They are capable, I think, of beating the Nuggets. And the key to me is this. Jokic and Murray are going to get their points. If you can have Michael Porter Jr., Bruce Brown, Aaron Gordon, and Caldwell Pope all like have average series or struggle a good portion of the time, if you can keep the role players for the Nuggets down, then yeah, the Heat have a chance. And Tyler Hero might be back from a broken hand. He averages 20 a game, got hurt in the first round series against the Bucks. He might be back for game 3. This is a perfect spot for the Heat to steal game 1. The Nuggets are rusty. They're excited. First time they've been in the finals. There's some of the Heat players that were in the finals a few years ago in the bubble. Denver's going to be rocking. It's going to be a great atmosphere. But this is a situation we've seen many times before where teams that have long layoffs take on a team that's coming off a tough series, and the best chance to steal the game and get home field or home court advantage is to take game 1 on the road. And the Heat have done this 6 times in a row where they've won game 1. And so don't underestimate the Heat is what I'm trying to say. I am still picking the Nuggets to win the series in 6. A lot of people have it in 5. Some have it in a sweep. I wouldn't be shocked if this thing went 7. But I do think the Nuggets are a smarter, better coached team than the Boston Celtics. They're not going to settle for threes, I don't think, all the time. Their best players aren't going to settle for threes. They move the ball better. They move without the ball better. They move the ball better around the perimeter. And they've got a guy that is the best player in the NBA right now, and that's Nikola Jokic. And everything is keyed off of him. And I will be interested to see how the Heat handle Jokic in this series, because he's going to get his points, his rebounds, and assists. That's for sure. Game 1, NBA Finals tonight. It is the Nuggets and the Heat. Jokic averaging 25 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists for the Nuggets. Murray averaging 28 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists in the past 10 games for Denver. Bam Adebayo, I think, is going to have a huge series for the Heat to have a chance. Nuggets won 53 games this year. They were the 1 seed in the West. The Heat won 44. They were the 8 seed in the East. So, you know, only 9 games separated them in the standings overall, and yet one was an 8, one was a 1. So we shall see how it all plays out tonight, game 1 at 7:30 in Denver. Jed Van Gundy was asked on how he'd fix the NBA. Does the NBA need fixing? The ratings are up. Does it need fixing? Listen, I think you could fix the game a little bit, make it cleaner, start calling all the carries, start calling the actual travels, actually call fouls, or let's stop all the flopping. But Jed Van Gundy has some ideas on how to fix the NBA. And I like Jeff Van Gundy. I highly respect the guy. I think he's very sharp and bright and intelligent. And he's, I think, very entertaining to listen to when he does the color commentary on NBA games on ABC and ESPN. But I'm not so sure about this one. Jeff Van Gundy says on how to fix the NBA, I don't know what you think, eliminate free throws until the last 4 minutes. If you get fouled on a shooting foul, you just get the points. You don't go line, and you don't get a line for technical free throws either. They're just points. You just give them. Then I would eliminate halftime. I think halftime is the biggest waste of time, or I'd reduce it to 5 minutes so you could go to the bathroom and come back out. Okay, first of all, I agree on the halftime thing, but that will never, ever happen because there's too much commercial inventory to sell during halftime. You got to have your halftime analysis, and you got guys at anchor desk that are, you know, being paid to break down the games. They have commercial inventory with halftime. Halftime will still be halftime. Would they reduce it at any point in time? I doubt it. We talk about college football as a long halftime. They're cutting out, they're trying to reduce the, they're taking away football and college football with the new clock rules of letting it run instead of stopping the clock late in games, but yet they're not shortening halftime. The NFL halftime is actually shorter than the college football halftime. And, you know, like baseball, well, we eliminate in baseball when we have a pitch clock. No, we're not. We're actually eliminating dead time. We're not eliminating action. But in college football, the new rules, you are. You're going to have less plays in a game, but we're not cutting the dead time called halftime. So, Jeff Van Gundy, I'm with you on halftime, even though that's not going to happen. Eliminating free throws until the last 4 minutes. What do you think about that? If you get fouled on a shooting foul, you just get the points. You don't even go to line, which would speed up the game, that's for sure. You don't go line for technicals. You just give up the technical free throws. They're just points. But you wait till the last 4 minutes. I don't know. It sounds a little... it seems a little extreme to me. But it's making the rounds. People are talking about it. So I guess that's a good thing. You're acknowledging, I guess everybody's acknowledging that there's some things that could be improved, no doubt, about the NBA game. And yeah, it's okay to talk about it. Whether any real change will happen, I think the genie's out of the bottle. I don't think you're going to see the travels called that should be called. You see a lot of travel in college basketball. It's spread to the college game. It's gone to the high school game. And I just don't think you put the genie back in the bottle. Wichita State has a bit of a controversy. A lot of their players for their baseball team are leaving and transferring out. Not happy. If you remember, Eric Wedge ended up resigning, forced out. He had some off-the-field issues with his personal life. That's all I can say about that. I guess I could say more, but I don't want to necessarily. So Lauren Hibbs took over, interim head coach, and all he did was he was the American Athletic Conference Coach of the Year. That's all he did. And so there's some reports that he wasn't really fully wanting to be the head coach of Wichita State going forward full-time permanently. He has refuted that. He said, I was 100% committed had they chose me to be the head coach of Wichita State. Wichita State's done a national search. Doesn't sound like, they're moving in a different direction. So the former interim head coach of the Shockers set the record straight. One day after Wichita State announced it was moving in a different direction, Lauren Hibbs says, absolutely 100% wanted to continue coaching Shocker baseball. He was ready to be all in. So, no, that's not true that he didn't want to commit and do that. And so a lot of players are transferring out. Now, there are some people that say, Wichita State's messed all this up. You just keep your interim head coach. You make him the permanent coach. He was all in. He was coach of the year. Did a great job. There's people on the other side saying, hey, listen, there's some short-term pain here, but you can't go off emotions. You got to do what's best for the baseball program. Wichita State baseball has not ever gotten back to where they were back in the late 80s when they were a national power. They won a national championship in 1989. And I think there's some truth to both sides. I think Wichita State maybe have learned their lesson a little bit. Isaac Brown, when Wichita State a few years ago, Greg Marshall had to be fired because of all the reports and investigation into his abusive behavior and their players that were transferring and leaving. Isaac Brown held down the fort and did a good job his first year and then as an interim coach, and then they gave him the full-time job. That has not worked out. I mean, it was the emotional play. Like, how can we not give it to Isaac Brown after he had a great first year? But it was with Greg Marshall's recruits. Part of coaching, a big part of coaching, is being a recruiter. Can you get guys to come to your program? And so, you know, that's what some people have claimed about Bruce Weber. Well, he won, but he won with Frank Martin's players that one year, the first year when he was co-Big 12 champions. Although, in fairness to Bruce Weber, he won the Big 12 more than once. And he went to Elite Eight without Frank Martin's players. So Wichita State has already gone down the route of, okay, this is the emotional play. Isaac Brown is loved by the players. We're not going to have some national search to replace Greg Marshall. We'll go ahead and go with Isaac Brown. And let's be quite frank about this. It hasn't worked out. And I think the Wichita State Athletic Administration is saying, listen, Lauren Hibbs is a great dude. And he did a great job. And he was AAC Coach of the Year. But he's not our answer if we want to get to where we want to get to. Now, that doesn't mean that they're going to hire the right guy. They hired Todd Butler. That didn't work out well. Eric Wedge did not work out. They haven't gotten back to where they were since the Gene Stephenson days. So I understand both sides of the argument here, both sides of the coin. You don't want to make an emotional, well, he's the AAC Coach of the Year as an interim, so he's got to be the head coach. And then I see the reaction of, well, all these players are leaving, so this is a big mistake by Wichita State. Not necessarily. You know, K-State, Bruce Weber was let go. And a whole bunch of K-State players left, not because necessarily Bruce Weber, but because a new coach was coming in and they were going to go with their new guys. I'd say that worked out pretty well, don't you? K-State men's basketball team made the Elite Eight this year. Unbelievable run. Ranked in the top 10 at the end of the year. Ranked in the top 25 almost all the year after they got on the map. I mean, there are K-State fans freaking out. There's only two players under scholarship and on the roster. And it was like, just chill out. Tang knows what he's doing. So there are a whole bunch of guys that left K-State. There's a whole bunch of guys that have left KU on their basketball program, even with Bill Self. And there's only two or three now coming back from last year. And, you know, there's no need to freak out about it. Wichita State, you've been burned by going with the pulling the interim tag and giving the permanent job to the interim coach and Isaac Brown. It did not work for men's basketball. Unless you like to be around a 500 team and not make the NCAA tournament and don't play in the postseason. I mean, that's not the goal of Wichita State basketball. They want to get back to where they were with Greg Marshall, right? Make a Final Four. Make a deep run in the tournament. Be on the map. The heck with a deep run. Let's make the NCAA tournament. The Wichita State Shocker fans should expect their basketball team to compete for NCAA tournament bids. That's not unrealistic. Now, expecting Final Fours, maybe. But Greg Marshall is able to do it. And they're in a better conference AAC now than back in the Missouri Valley days. So what about baseball? Can Wichita State get to the level they want to get to again under Gene Stephenson? I would say, I would say anything's possible. I think it's a bit of an uphill climb, but it can be done. You know, if you end up having a couple of stud pitchers, who knows what can happen. So for those freaking out, Lauren Hibbs isn't the full-time coach. People freaking out, their players leaving the program. It's not the end of the world for Wichita State baseball. Did they make the NCAA tournament with Lauren Hibbs? No. Did they win their conference tournament? No. So I think what the Wichita State Athletic Administration is saying, we're having a national search. We think there's somebody better long-term for this program. And they didn't think it was Lauren Hibbs. We will find out if they made the right decision. But when they gave the permanent job to an interim coach on the basketball side, that's what a lot of fans wanted. And it didn't work out. And that's what you got to be careful, is letting the fans run your establishment. You know, if fans were in charge, the Royals would have never won a World Series. If fans were in charge, Alex Gordon would have been cut. If fans were in charge, Ned Yost would have been fired. Dayton Moore would have been fired. Billy Butler would have been traded. Zach Greinke would have never been traded. If Royals fans were in charge, the Royals would suck. And they stink now. And you may say, well, what's the difference right now? No. I'm talking back when they won it. In 14, they went to Game 7 World Series. 15, they won the whole thing. And Ned Yost and Dayton Moore actually knew what they were doing a little bit, didn't they? And thankfully, the fans were in charge. If the fans were in charge of the Kansas City Chiefs, Deshaun Watson would be the Chiefs quarterback today. Let that sink in. So you need to listen to your fan base. Yes. Gene Taylor needed to listen to his fan base in regards to Bruce Weber, right? I think he knew the writing was on the wall. Maybe they stayed with Bruce Weber a little too long, but they knew what the fans thought. That played into their thinking, I'm sure. But also they knew that, hey, it's time to move on. And they got a great young coach, or I mean, not necessarily young, but he's a vibrant, energetic coach in Jerome Tang. You know, if the fans were in charge, Brent Venables would be the head coach at Kansas State. Well, I don't know if he would have actually ever taken the job. But if the fans were in charge, Seth Luttrell would have been head coach at Kansas State. The number one choice by K-State fans was to replace Bill Snyder the second time around was who? Brent Venables. Last year he had a losing record with Oklahoma in his first year as a head coach. And he may turn out to be a great head coach. The second choice was Seth Luttrell. Chris Klieman was nowhere on the fans' list. How do the fans feel about that now? I mean, there's some fans that, you know, wishy-washy, up, jump on and off the wagon all the time. Well, Klieman's a horrible hire. It's just Gene Taylor's buddy. Then all of a sudden they do well. Oh, well, yeah. Win the dang day. That's what I said all along. Then they struggled during the COVID period. Oh, Klieman's not the guy. Told you. Then they win the Big 12 last year. Hey, give that guy an extension. Now if they stink this year, I told you Klieman was a waste of money. We shouldn't have gave him that contract. Fans should never be in charge. Fans should never be in charge. Why? Because fan is short for fanatical, and you do not want a fanatic running your organization. That is a big problem. And you could argue that that gets the Cowboys in trouble with Jerry Jones. Sometimes he's the fan. And they're, you know, George Steinbrenner, you know, they won with the Yankees, but he fired his managers a lot, didn't he? And obviously there were some issues with that. But the fan should never be in charge. Should the fan base be heard? Yes. The fan base should be heard. But they should never be in charge. And so I feel like what I'm seeing with this Wichita State story is that fans that don't know a lot of what's really going on, even people outside of Wichita, Kansas, are overreacting to all the players leaving. And so thus they say Wichita State's making a gigantic mistake. And listen, the fans, the majority of Wichita State fans wanted Isaac Brown to be the permanent head coach of the men's basketball program. Did the fan base get fired when they get that hiring wrong? The answer is no. So as an athletic director, your job is to what? Your job is to get it right. And if you don't get it right, you very well could be on the chopping block yourself as athletic director. Gene Taylor hired Chris Klieman, and a lot of people are like, oh, that's his buddy. It must be nice to be part of the buddy system. But Gene Taylor knew Chris Klieman, was comfortable with Chris Klieman, knew about Chris Klieman, and he was like, you know what? If I'm going to go out and get fired as athletic director at Kansas State University, and football is the most important hire that I've got to make, all right? I'll interview various people, but I've got a guy that I really think is the man to for this job. And I'm comfortable with him. I know him. I trust him. And I'm going to do it my way. If it doesn't work out, at least I can say I hired the guy I wanted to hire. I didn't cater to the fan base. People that are athletic directors, general managers of professional sports franchises, all right, and even in some cases owners, you do want to listen and understand the pulse of the fan base. But if you have a job as general manager or a coach, or an athletic director, your job is to do the job. Don't let other people do it for you. And here's the thing. When you let other people do it for you, those people that did it for you don't get fired. You do. And I've read where there have been various instances, I've read this over the years, where a first-time GM or a first-time athletic director or a first-time coach have said one of the biggest mistakes I made was I didn't stand true to my convictions. I let the noise get to me. I let people talk me out of things that I thought were the right things to do. I didn't run the establishment as I wanted to run it. And if I were given another chance, I would stick to my guns. And I wish that I had done it my way. Because here's the thing. If you do it your way, as a person, athletic director, maybe even a president of a university, if you do it your way, if you stand true to your convictions and you know deep down that it's going to work or you feel strongly it's going to work, why would you settle for something that you don't feel as confident about? So if you're going to get canned, you're going to get fired, you might as well go down swinging and you might as well do it with no regrets. If it doesn't work out, at least I did it the way I thought was best. Yes, it's good to listen to people's input. That is part of those jobs. But at the end of the day, you've got to go with what you think is right. I'll give you an example. I've coached various youth sports. I've been a helper. I've been an assistant coach. I've been a head coach. And the roles are completely different. If you're a helper, you just do whatever the head coach basically tells you. And if the head coach asks you for your input, you provide it. And then the head coach has to decipher what he wants to do. Okay. As a head coach, you don't want to be a dictator, but you are in charge. You need to be in charge. You need to be organized. You got to be in charge. At the same time, you can't be a dictator and say everything's my way or the highway. I mean, maybe you can get away with it. But you need to value your assistant coaches and helpers and value their input. And you may have a conversation with your assistant coaches and you know what you want to do, but you want to hear from them, one, to include them in the conversation. Two, they might share something with you that you had not thought out clearly and may change your mind. Or three, you may go ahead and do what you were going to do all along, but at least you listened to those others. I can tell you from my experience as a head coach, I have had gut feelings about when to take a pitcher out of a game. I've had a gut feeling about having somebody run or to bunt. And I've asked coaches before that I've worked with, you know, what do you think here? And I've kind of hee-hawed around. Like, I know deep down what I want to do in regards to a pitching change, but and baseball, you have a little bit more time to think about this with, you know, breaks in between pitches and this and that. And so you can talk in the dugout with your assistant coaches. Go, what do you think here? You know, do you think Johnny's got any more left in the tank? Should I pull him here? But if I don't pull him here and he walks this guy, then I put in a new pitcher with the bases loaded. That's not cool. You know, do I pull him here? Am I too quick of a pull or a trigger? Should I go ahead and leave him in longer? Have I left him in too long? And there have been times where I pretty much know what I want to do. And I talk to my assistants and they'll be like, I think you should do this. Sometimes it's exactly what I wanted to do. And so I feel even stronger about my decision. There are some times where they're like, they present an option B, and I'm like, well, that isn't a bad thought. There's maybe even option C. But at the end of the day, if I go with option B or C that I don't fully believe in, and I really like option A better, and I go with option B or C, and we lose the game, you know who's going to stay up in bed, can't fall asleep thinking about what they did wrong? The head coach. You know what makes it even worse? Is when you didn't do it the way you originally wanted to do it. Because then you say to yourself, not only do you feel like you made the wrong decision, but you weren't even true to yourself. You didn't do what you thought was best. You let somebody talk you out of it. So you're still maybe not going to fall asleep if you do it the way you were going to with option A. But at least you know that, you know what? I felt that was the best way to go at the time. I held true to my convictions. It's the exact same thing with athletic director at Wichita State University. My next hire for the baseball team is important. My next hire for the basketball program is important. Gene Taylor, when he took a job at Kansas State, he knew he was going to have to make a very tough hire. And he went with a guy he knew, he trusted, and I'd say it's worked out pretty doggone well, wouldn't you? And the fans would have never made that hire. So let's put the brakes on. Oh, my God, Wichita State is screwing this up royally because they're not keeping the interim baseball coach who went 30-25 this year and went 13-10 in conference. That's an okay record. It's a decent record. I mean, it's better than some years Wichita State has had. Don't get me wrong. But is that the goal of Wichita State? I mean, last year, Wichita State was 21-36, 9-15. So is that an improvement this year? Absolutely. And that's one of the things people can argue is, hey, there's a 9-game improvement with an interim head coach. Make him the permanent guy, and we can just move mountains. And you know what? That might be the right thing to do. But I think Wichita State goes, we got burned by doing this once with our basketball coach. We're not going to make the same mistake twice. And so this is where it's tough as a fan to be patient and to trust the process and to trust the people in charge. Right now, most of Chiefs Kingdom, including myself, fully trust Brett Veach, fully trust Andy Reid, fully trust Patrick Mahomes, fully trust Clark Hunt. Why wouldn't we? But then right across the parking lot, the Royals are on the opposite side of the spectrum. The Chiefs are top of the world, world champs. The Royals are one of the worst teams in baseball. They're on track to lose 100 games for the third time in 5 years. And you know what, fans, do you think fans trust the leadership of the Royals? They trusted a lot more when they were winning 14-15, weren't they? So, Wichita State, I don't blame them for having a national search. They should, no matter what, they should have a national search. Even if they're still considering an interim coach, they should have a national search. But people are guilty of knee-jerk reactions. Oh my God, all these players are leaving. What, you don't think you're going to have enough players to form a team next year? All these unbelievable players you had that are leaving and you went 30-25. That's not NCAA tournament material out of AAC. That's not winning a championship like you did in 1989. You know, last I checked, you're not losing a whole bunch of All-American players. Now, it sucks if you got connected to these players and you like these players. If you're a diehard Wichita State baseball fan, yeah, it stinks to see these kids leave. Absolutely. But you know what? Some of them were leaving no matter who the head coach was going to be because that's just what happens. It's called the transfer portal, for crying out loud. So I think fans need to stop, take a step back sometimes and say, you know, I don't know who I would hire, so maybe we shouldn't fire this guy right now. Or I'd keep Lauren Hibbs. Yeah, but are you aware that there's another established, experienced, highly thought of coach that's interested in your job? Are you aware of that? Would you, if you had a blind resume and you had this guy's resume next to Lauren Hibbs, the interim coach, if it were blind resumes, you would probably pick the one that isn't Lauren Hibbs. But Lauren Hibbs is awesome, just like Isaac Brown, because they did such a great job when it wasn't expected. And see, there is the thing. Expectations, right? Why is Jerome Tang thought so highly of right now? Why is Chris Kleiman thought so highly of? They exceeded expectations. And when you exceed expectations, then what happens? Higher expectations are expected. And then, so like next year, if K-State doesn't win the Big 12 in football and they finish fourth and don't make the Big 12 title game, I guarantee you, without a sliver of doubt in my mind, there will be K-State fans saying, oh, man, why did we give Kleiman that extension? Told you, I never was fully sold. He just got a little bit lucky to win that Big 12 title. You know that. Everybody listening to the show that knows sports knows that's what's going to be some of the narrative. And so You go 30-25 after going 21-36 Wichita State baseball. Well, that's an improvement. Absolutely it is. And Lauren Hibbs had a lot to do with that. He was AAC Coach of the Year. He's the best coach in our conference. That's awesome. Absolutely. So next year, you should be better than 30-25. So next year, Wichita State goes 25-30. Do you think fans are all on board the Lauren Hibbs train? Of course not. Of course not. Dusty and I have talked about this before with the K-State men's basketball program. Jerome Tang, the expectations for the season were, the most realistic expectations that I heard from K-State fans were make the tournament. Maybe a bubble team would get in, at best probably a 7, 8, 9 seed. Those were like lofty expectations or goals. And what happened? Once K-State started winning and winning and winning, and all of a sudden they got off to a 3-0 start in the Big 12, fans' expectations changed. And then there are people that were all about, I love Jerome Tang. And then all of a sudden they started struggling in the Big 12, and it's like, I told you this, he isn't real. I told you he's not that good. Yeah, it was bound to happen. You know, it's the Debbie Downer out there, right? Mr. Negative. Oh, Tang can't handle the Big 12. It's a great story. All of a sudden, they change it around again. They had the ups and downs like a lot of teams, and they make a run in the tournament. Now Jerome Tang is the toast of the town, right? They made the Elite Eight. What happens next year when K-State, I don't know, K-State men's basketball next year, let's say they don't make the tournament. All those people love Jerome Tang suddenly are going to turn on him so fast, no matter how nice and full of faith he is. Everybody listening to this show should know that. Listen, if Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes don't make a Super Bowl the next 5 years and have a couple losing seasons, people will turn on Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Because that's called fickle fans. Or maybe not even fickle fans, just fans. That's who we are. So let the people that are in charge in this situation at Wichita State, I think you just got to, I mean, you don't have a choice anyway. You're not making the decision. But I do feel like some of this is manifested a little bit from what I'm reading and understanding. And I know I'm not on the ground in Wichita, so this is maybe unfair for me to say. But from an outsider looking in, it seems to me like Wichita State and their athletic department says we don't want to make the same mistake with our men's, with our baseball program as we did with our men's program in basketball. And how can you blame them? And please remember, just because a whole bunch of players transfer out of a program, whether it's football, basketball, or baseball, that does not mean it's the end of your program. It's not the end of the world. You have scholarships. You have opportunity that you can present to people. And if you go get a guy that's highly respected and is a good recruiter, you don't even have to be a great recruiter. You're going to have enough people to fill your roster. But if you want to be successful, you got to be able to recruit. Does Lauren Hibbs have a history of being a great recruiter that I'm not aware of? I don't know. You know, but just because you take over as an interim coach and have success doesn't mean that you can recruit once guys do transfer or once guys or gals graduate. So we'll see who Wichita State hires a new baseball coach. Now, if you want to criticize some misinformation that seems to be kind of thrown out there, that Lauren Hibbs wasn't fully committed to being the permanent head coach and he wasn't fully interested, he has refuted that. He has made it clear that, yes, I was on board. I was 100% in. I wanted to keep coaching this team. Maybe that's where some of the angst comes in with some of these players. It's like, we feel like our interim coach that we highly respect and love has been disrespected, and thus we're disrespected and we're leaving. Or maybe it's just that I was going to leave anyway, but now it makes it easier for me to leave. I don't know all of that, but I don't think Wichita State, their administration, believes where they want to get to eventually with their baseball program is to make the interim guy permanent. So now the onus is on them to go get the right guy, to get the guy that puts baseball at Wichita State back to where it really honestly was and should be, and that is a winning program consistently. Last year they were 21-36. 2021, let me hit the button here, they were 31-23. So, you know, that's, I mean, this year it wasn't even as good as 2 years ago for Wichita State. So, we shall see how it all plays out. Before we end the show, let me see if there's anything else to add that's new coming across the wire. Here we go. USC will face Kansas State. Oregon will play Georgia in college basketball on November 6th in Las Vegas. How about this? The game between USC and Kansas State men's basketball will be the first ever college game for USC freshman Bronny James, who is a son of LeBron. So there's going to be an answer to a trivia question someday. Who was the first team that LeBron's son Bronny played in college? The answer is going to be Kansas State. Wow. Glad I checked the Twitter page. K-State men's basketball Jerome Tang will face off November 6th in Las Vegas against Bronny James and USC. Let that sink in. Enjoy that. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.